This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Our voice, preserving our stories. Join Caroline Vogels and Jess Moorhee for an insight into the lives of our community elders. Joy 94.9 gratefully acknowledges the support of the Victorian Government and Public Record Office Victoria for making this project possible.
Anita Gibbons was born in the northeast of England and came to Australia as a young girl with her family as 10-pound Poms. Educated in Melbourne, with a BA from Chisholm and Masters from Monash, spent much of her working career in training and organisational development. In 1969, Anita met her partner and soulmate Maureen, and they were together for 37 years, until sadly Maureen passed away in 2007. And during their time together, Anita was passionate about politics and attended the Women Labour Conference and the first International Women's Writers Festival in Melbourne in the early 90s. For the last 18 years, Anita has played a significant role at Joy as a presenter, on the committee of management for over 2 years, as a mentor, and as a willing volunteer helping out at many Joy events. It will be difficult to encapsulate in the short time we have how much Anita has done for lesbian music via her show Women on Waves, affectionately referred to as WOW. WOW focuses on lesbian artists from around the world, such as Chris Williamson, KD, Horse, Dusty, Aussie's Blue House, Judy Small, Michelle Parsons, and from New Zealand, the top twins to name a few. Then there's the jazz segment with the likes of Pippa Wilson and Suede. And another extremely popular segment is the comedy shot, where Anita showcases lesbian comics, and some favourites are Susan Westenhofer and Marga Gomez. After each show, Anita diligently loads the playlist on the Women on Waves website. So after 476 shows, there is now a very valuable collection of playlists dating back to 1995. Anita has what I could call a cult following. For many listeners, such as Lloyd and Colin, the home support team from Docklands, Betty from Yarraville, Tex, Trish and many others, Women on Waves is the Sunday morning religion. And in 2009, Anita was awarded life membership of Joy. And I firmly believe that when Anita decides it's time to hang up her headphones, it will be a very sad day for lesbian music and a very, very sad day for the cult following that she has gathered over the last 18 years. My co-host Jess and I warmly welcome Anita Gibbons to Our Voice. Welcome, Anita.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
And welcome, Jess. How are you, Jess?
I'm great, Caroline.
And this week we also have another special guest joining us, musician Michelle Parsons, who's going to give us a lesbian musician's perspective on Anita's contribution to women's music. So that'll be...
Wow.
We'll let Michelle talk a little bit later in the show. But firstly, Anita, we've got a few questions for you.
Okay.
And top of my list is, how did you meet Maureen?
I started work in a city office in April 1969, and I saw this woman come into the office and sit on a stool and chatting away, and I thought, gosh, she looks interesting. So I've gradually got to know her, and probably by the following year, I was working in the same area as Maureen and got quite friendly with her. And I was indeed there the day she got the news that her mother had passed away in New South Wales, and she took off for 3 weeks, and I decided, hell, I can't stand not having Maureen around. So it gradually grew from that.
So you tapped her on the shoulder and said, how about coming out for dinner or something?
Yes, actually, because she didn't drive, which was a boon for me because I did. I used to drive down from Dandenong every morning to Richmond, wait outside her place until she woke up, and then drive her into the city, all the way from Richmond into the city. But she had some friends that were in a hospital in Box Hill, so I offered to take her out there, and then I took her home to my place afterwards and introduced her to the family, and by that Christmas, she was spending Christmas with us.
Wow, and 37 years of great love and affection and friendship.
And lots of great memories.
Yeah.
Was it a very social scene in the 70s when you were out and about?
Not really. And in fact, speaking of out and about, we weren't really out. We were probably what you call part of the closeted community. And it was only on the odd occasion that we actually got to meet other lesbians and whatever. There used to be a little restaurant in Abbotsford, I think, called No Meat, No Men. And and that was a bit of a gathering place.
Yeah, sure.
We never went to places like Open House, which was already running in those days. We were just happy with each other sort of thing. And it wasn't until probably about 1972, I think, a publication started out of the Women's Liberation Movement, which took a big hold in Melbourne around that time. There was a quarterly newsletter called Vashti's Voice, which used to be a collection of articles about women, poetry written by women, etc., etc. And there was a collective out at Carlton that used to produce that for about 5 years. And then it got taken over by Sybilla Press and ran till about 1980. And then sort of died. But interestingly, in 1986, by that time I was probably coming out, in 1986, the collective that had originally started Vashti's Voice back in 72, many of them were lesbians, and they came together and launched an anthology called Voices of Vashti in 1986 at Pat Longmore's pub in Richmond. And that became a gathering place for gay women around town. Pat was fairly influential, I think, in many people's lives. She was a teacher at a private school, and she started the first queer film festival and everything. You know, she, unfortunately, she passed away in 92.
Was it this connection that took you to be involved in the first International Women's Writers Festival?
Yes, it kind of was. I'd started a new business at that stage, making teddy bears. I'd started from sanity and that, and I just got into it. And also the Writers' Festival was on in, I think, 94, and I was already involved in Joy by that stage, and I actually donated a raffle of a teddy bear that we dressed up as a sort of an international writer that had come to Melbourne for the sixth festival. And there were many lesbians represented at that, which unfortunately was the very last international feminist writers festival, book fair or whatever it was called.
Well, we might hear a little bit about how you joined Joy after we hear a song that you've chosen.
I've forgotten which one I picked, but I think it's All I See Is You.
Correct.
And it's a song that I associate very much with Maureen. Dusty and Maureen and I grew up together, really, and it just speaks volumes to me, I think, these days.
As Dusty does to many people. You're listening to Our Voice on Joy 94.9. You're on Our Voice with Jess and Caroline on Joy 94.9, and our special guest today is Anita Gibbons. Anita, can we talk a little bit about the Lesbiana publication?
Yes, we can, actually. That was another publication that started in Melbourne. I think it was about 1992.
We can always Google it.
And it was set up by Cheryl Berkowitz from the Labrador down in Brunswick Street and Pat Longmore. But unfortunately, Pat died only months after the, because it came out monthly, and only months after they started it, Pat passed on. And left Cheryl holding the bag, as it were, but she kept going with it until about 95, I think, when they moved up to Bellingen. And from 95, Jan Campbell was editor. And then Jude Dennis. And it finally just disappeared in about 2004. So that sort of was a rallying thing, and had lots of articles on music and women in music and all that sort of thing. So that was fairly influential too, I think.
Yeah, and if anyone wants to hear more or read more of the history of organisations and publications like Lesbiana, you could always go and read Jean Taylor's book, Stroppy Dykes.
Yes.
That's a fantastic history of, talks about Vashti's publications and all those wonderful women that set those things up. Yep. So that takes us to Joy 94.9.
Well, it was 90.7 in the days when I got involved. Joy actually started, I think it was 93, December the 1st, 93, and there was a program on the air that weekend, because they were only doing weekend slots at that stage, called Women on Waves, and it was run by a couple of women originally from Tasmania who owned a music distribution company in Australia for women's music. And I tuned in, heard it, and thought, gee, so rang in, made a request and whatever, and I thought, they started calling for volunteers because they lost their phone support person. So I rang in and said, look, I'm happy to come in and volunteer. So that's how I started with Women on Waves. And at the end of 94, they decided that they were going to move up north too. So they said, look, Anita, you're the only one we trust to take over this program and keep it as lesbian-focused music. So I got dropped in the deep end, and I started in early 1995. And I guess one of my, I had two important interviews, firstly with the Top Twins, because they were over doing their camping out show, and secondly, Judy Small, who I had seen perform but never met. And they were sort of flying by the seat of my pants, I think, in those days. So that was the start, and it lasted for about, on and off for about 12 months. I remember doing a couple of big Sunday specials on the women in country music. I did three of those, and then I did a couple on the life of Katie Lang, because it was around about the time of her All You Can Eat tour, and there was a lot of interest in KD at that stage. And then Joy decided, for one reason or another, they didn't have a time slot, because we were still on limited broadcast availability for the show. So I packed up my CDs and went off to Moonee Valley Radio and did a show called Outrageous Harmonies for 4 years. And then leading up to the license, I came back to Joy, and that's when I got onto Com, and I said, look, you really should have something like this on Joy. It's its spiritual home.
Yeah, so that was an exciting time for you, coming back and having Joy go for their full-time license with their application and all those good times.
Busy time, but a lot of fun.
Yeah, and that's where you've started to build up that great cultish following and...
Yeah, I think the cultish following came when we moved to Sunday mornings, because we were sort of Monday nights, 9 to 11, and, you know, all over the place for a couple of years. And then when we got the Sunday morning time slot, we got a whole heap of new listeners.
Yeah.
The family began, sounds.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You're listening to Our Voice with Jess and Caroline. We have Anita Gibbons in the studio with us today. And coming up later in the show, we have musician Michelle Parson coming in to chat, add a little bit more of her insight as to how Anita has helped her. So while we're talking about music, should we have a look at this or have a listen to the next track that you've brought in by, I'm sure, one of your favourite artists?
Mm.
Tell us about Horse.
Horse is a Scottish singer-songwriter who I came across quite by accident in the very early days of the Sunday morning slot, and started playing her music. And I think for the 300th show, or it might have been the 200th, we rang her in Scotland and I had this amazing interview. And when I went over in 2010... I got the opportunity to do a face-to-face interview with her, which I brought back and tried to edit, but I couldn't because it was just an amazing interview. And after that, we brought her to Melbourne when she came on her first trip to Australia in 2011.
Yeah.
And then she came back again earlier this year, and... She's coming out again, I believe, next year. So
it was your first go at promoting?
Yes, it was.
Nerve-wracking?
It was very nerve-wracking. Yeah. I think it was a good night, though.
It was a fantastic night, having been to both of them. But I'd have to say at that point, though, that's one of the things that makes you special is you really put everything into the music, and to, you know, sponsor Horse to come out and is just an incredible thing, and it shows you your passion. So let's have a listen.
Can I just say a little bit about this particular song? It was on her debut album, The Same Sky, and for some reason it was never released as a single. It is an amazing song, and I know it's bad English, but when you listen, you'll understand.
Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Our Voice, and our guest is Anita Gibbons, and we have a special guest in the studio. We've been joined by Michelle Parsons, a fantastic local lesbian musician who's been keeping us entertained for many years.
Hmm. You could run the Our Voice yourself, really.
Yeah, well, no, it's been a while since I've written something, so let's not bring that up.
Can you tell us a little bit about the music that you play?
My music? Geez, what would you call it? My original stuff, I guess, gets the blues rock sort of tag.
Yeah, probably.
But at gigs, I could play anything from 50s through to now. Originals, fantastic. Covers, so
does a great
pretty much
cover
anything that
Michelle,
keeps the...
Melissa Etheridge.
Oh, well, yeah, there's Melissa Etheridge as well.
Wow.
Not a bad tag to have, I guess.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
So can you remember how you came across Anita and... Or did Anita come across you?
I remember when I first started playing, I was playing at the Glass House, and of course there were a lot of women, and I was new to the scene and playing, and women kept telling me about, oh, you got to give your stuff to Anita, and I'm like, who's this Anita? And eventually listened to a few shows, and lo and behold, next thing I was asked to come in.
And you gave me a CD.
And I gave you a CD, and it's been a relationship ever since, and,
yes,
you know, a great one. And I mean, for all artists, especially, you know, lesbian artists on the scene, the first person you want to get your CD to is Anita and get it played on Women on Waves, yeah.
Yeah, in fact, it spreads to overseas as well.
Absolutely.
I get inundated with CDs some months.
So tell us a bit about that. You've been asked to be a judge at the Out Music Festival.
Yeah, that happened because I got on to Out Music and the Out Voice charts in the US, trying to plug Australian artists, you know, get them known overseas and everything. And somebody wrote to me and said, you've got a show on Joy Melbourne. And I said, yeah. And they said, how would you like to be a judge for the inaugural Out Music Awards that we're having, because the Glamour Awards hadn't started, and the old Gay Music Awards that used to exist had died. So they got together this group called Out Music, and they ran a few awards ceremonies in New York. I got invited to, but I could never go. But, yeah, I got to judge a number of contributors and in a couple of categories for a couple of years.
So how did that work? Did they send you the music? And
yes, they used to send MP3s of the various nominations, and you had to sort of listen to them and critique them and give them scores.
Did anybody try to bribe you?
I think I think there was one other Australian judge for those awards the first year, and he was up in Queensland, so nobody had bribed me.
You didn't have to confer with any of the other judges? And
no, but I went round telling everybody in Melbourne about them and said, you know, you really should submit, because it was easy enough to submit, and you could get an award. Yeah. And wouldn't that be big news for Australia?
Well, yeah. Fantastic.
Mm. We might need to start our own here.
Well, I don't know why not, yeah.
Could you do that in your spare time?
Yeah, in my spare time. Yeah. No, I keep coming up. I've got to shut my mouth, because every time I come up with these ideas, poor Anita gets
lumbered with something. Speaking of which, that was probably another highlight, really, the fundraiser that Joy ran in Midsummer. And we had such great acts, like Michelle Parsons came along, Blue House,
Emma Wall,
Ruth Catterallis and Monique Kenny, and it was just a great night.
We had comedians there as well.
Yep.
That's where we met Bobby McCumber, who's since gone on to do Taste of Radio, and I think might be appearing with Jess on a radio show or two. And so right. that's the beautiful thing, I think, with these fundraisers. And that's, I'd have to say again, that Anita, one of the things that I think you're a great role model is that you're not just a presenter that comes on air and takes the glory and, you know, takes the free CDs or, you know, music. You do the hard yards, which is promoting women's music wherever you can, and women in general. And also for you, Michelle, you're always the first one to put your hand up and say, yep, I'll be in that. And once you get a core together, then other people come on board. But without that core, it's sort of hard to get people engaged. But, you know, that becomes a launching place where a lot of women got to see Bobby, for instance, and, you know, some other artists that they don't normally see. That, because that must be difficult for you, Michelle, to get bums on seats. And
absolutely, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And the other thing is to get around and see other artists, because yeah. you're always out playing. So it's not unless you do these nights where you're all on the same bill that you get to actually see each other perform. Yeah. I mean, you've heard of them and you know of them, and you might run into each other, but it's really rare to actually get to see each other.
So, Michelle, what will it be like if, what for your thoughts, if Anita hangs up her headphones?
Oh, no, don't. We don't even want to think about it. We don't want to think about that at all.
Because she's just been, to me, it's as long as I can remember, I've turned on Joy. And for the entire time, for me, Joy's been on air. I've listened to Women on Waves. And as I've said in the introduction, it is like a religion.
Absolutely.
So,
and even it's, look, Caroline it's one of the rare shows. Money where her mouth was. A year or so, actually, co-hosting.
That's right. That's right. That's where I meant you're a mentor, and for people coming through the Taste of Radio, always welcome to give people a go. And, yeah, it's just that support of women in general. So it would be a bleak landscape, wouldn't it?
It will be. I just hope that that people have learnt from Anita and can carry on in the same vein, especially there's not – I don't think there's any many shows you can tune in and get such a broad range of music as well in styles, and, you know, and the comedy shot, and, you know, there's just such a broad range of female entertainment. It's fantastic. Yep. I mean, there's not many shows. Well, this is the only show that gives – it's completely women. Yeah. But even in a lot of other shows, the female content of those shows is probably not as great as the male content.
Mm. I think it's a true testament too of having that combination, of having a program that works, a structure that works, you've got the followers, and for me, being new to radio and just, you know, dipping my toe in the water, if you like, I just see you as such a role model, Anita, and one day hope to have a small amount of the success and the following and the dedication that you have with your listeners. And as a listener myself, I want to thank you for all your contribution.
Oh, thank you. But can I just add that, in fact, Melbourne is a good scene out and proud female performers. And that's been a tremendous help to me over the years, because they come to me and I get to know them, and we...
And I'd just like to add, it's not just on radio that Anita supports us in playing our music and having us in to talk about our latest show and, you know, promote those. Anita's also a face in the crowd at the actual gigs as well. So, you know, it's not...
Yeah, it's another important link.
It's really important.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's an early start here on Sunday mornings, but that shows another thing. And I know, you know, we've got a halo on your head, Anita, but I think, you know, you really do deserve it. And this show hopefully is a recognition of, you know, many years of hard yards and dedication, and it's not all easy. And I think many of us really appreciate it, and it's heartfelt. So
thank you. Mm-hmm. From the bottom of my heart, thank you.
Thank you.
For all of your support over the years. It's been amazing. And for someone who's, you know, I'm not continually bringing out new music, but there's usually a big show of some sort to promote, and you've always been, you know, the first to say, come on in, let's have a chat and have a play. And
yep, I try and do that for everybody.
I guess this could be a question for both of you, Anita and Michelle. Where would you like to see the music scene, especially the Australian lesbian music scene and the international one as well, where would you like to see it heading? Is there any more events and promotion and more shows like Women on Waves? What are your dreams?
My dream has always been to have more shows like Women on Waves. But I also think that maybe, you know, Michelle's bright idea of having an awards night, it would be a real go, because there are so many talented artists that could put their hands up and nominate to be a recipient of an award. And I think that they deserve it. They've committed so much over so many years. You know, even newer ones like, you know, the Jenny Biddles, for example. Sam Lowe's now that she's on her own.
There's so many artists.
You could just go on and on and on.
See, I'd love to see a major women's music festival. Yes. I think it's about time. We've got the artists. It's time for a major festival.
We've got a lovely connection with Jenny Biddle here at Our Voice.
We do. Jenny Biddle has written and composed and played our introduction for the show Our Voice.
Good honour.
She can often be seen in busking in Bourke Street, and often appears on the regular Melbourne places like Wesleyan. I just always believe it's such a hard job, because I know people like you, Michelle, work full time.
Yeah, I do. And music's always been a part time thing for me. Yeah. So
if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Our Voice with Jess and Caroline on Joy 94.9. We've got Anita Givens in the studio with us, and also another special guest, Michelle Parsons. And we're talking Women on Waves, fabulous music, and there's lots more to come. So stay tuned after these messages.
You're listening to Our Voice with my co-host Jess, and I'm Caroline, and our special guest in the studio is Anita Gibbons from, many listeners will know, from Women on Waves, and we've also been joined by Michelle Parsons, musician extraordinaire, who you can see around the traps, and we might just maybe drop your website in for people to keep in touch with you, Michelle.
My website's michelleparsons.com.au.
We love it when it's so easy. So, yes, if you'd like to see a great gig, and I know for the 50s and 60s when you do one of those retro nights, they're a great lot of fun. So
There's one of those coming up soon.
Fantastic. So let's keep in touch by michelleparsons.com.au.
That's the one.
And, Anita, this time of the Our Voice segment is now memorabilia, and I know it's been a difficult task for you to wade through all those memories of 18 years of being on Joy and all the history that you've had here in Melbourne, but would you like to pick a couple of things of what you'd like to talk about?
I guess I I'd like to talk about some of the conferences that were held. There's firstly the Women in Labour Conference that you mentioned earlier in 1980. It was an event that sort of opened my eyes to people like Judy Small and the Vagina Sisters that came up from Tasmania. And secondly, of course, the Writers Festival, which also had star acts performing and probably gave me the impetus to say, look, there's such great music musicians around. And I've had the opportunity to interview some overseas artists. Get my photos. I've actually got a wall of memorabilia at home, mm-hmm. which is the pictures that I've had taken with some of the artists. You know, Chris Williamson, Trent Fury, wow. Heather Bishop over from Canada, a horse from Scotland, Mary Wilson, Michelle Parsons, you name it. I couldn't bring the wall in.
But we might get our resident photographer, Betty, to take a photo of that, and we'll put that up on our...
I'd love to see that.
On our social page.
Okay. But that's probably the main memorabilia, and the other memorabilia is probably all still associated with my travels and joy.
Yeah.
I think I'm of the opinion that, especially with Melbourne artists, they'd be quite, not intimidated, but nervous to sit down and have an interview with you, being such an important person in the music industry, and especially in Melbourne. But how do you feel interviewing
them?
Yeah.
Well, can I relate an interesting story, actually?
Please.
My very first interview, after I'd been dropped in at the deep end and only just... worked out the panel, was the Top Twins, and they came from New Zealand and they were a big name, you know, the world renowned, really. And they arrived in the studios down in South Melbourne, and I came out of the studio into the foyer area and said, "Hi, I'm Anita. You must be the Top Twins," because I hadn't even met them before. And they said, "Yep." And I sat down and I said, "Well, look, I'm just going to play a song and then I'll call you into the studio and we can have a chat." Okay. And then they started reading the gay press papers that were on the table there. And I thought, oh, my God, this interview is going to be like drawing hen's teeth. And I was petrified. Anyway, when they came in and I put them in front of a mic, they were the most amazing interview I think I've ever done, but certainly one of the best. But yeah, I get intimidated by people, and I can sometimes tell, like Pippa Wilson, the first time I interviewed Pippa Wilson, she sat there screwing a handkerchief in her hand all the time we were talking, and I thought, Pippa Wilson, I mean, the Queen of Jazz, I mean, come on. And she just had very little experience on being interviewed on the radio before.
And we're out of our comfort zone.
Yeah, it is. It's incredible, actually. That's one thing I've learned, is that you see the musicians that are so comfortable behind a microphone, you think that this is going to be no different.
Yeah.
But it is quite
it's
a different experience.
Talking, yeah.
It's very different.
And you never know what I'm going to ask.
Oh, that's exactly right. It'll always be well researched.
But I always try to make them like laid back chats, and that's where I got into trouble with Horse, because we just talk for an hour and I just let recording go on and on and on. And when I sat down to try and edit it so that I could put some of it to air when I got back to Australia, I couldn't. I can't leave that bit on. Mm. That bit's important, you know.
But you've been interviewed on the BBC too, haven't you?
Yeah, when I was over in 2010. I got invited to Manchester Pride as a VIP mm-hmm. member, nice. Because I knew one of the patrons of Manchester Pride. So I got to spend the whole weekend there. And then it was really funny that they rang me the day that I arrived in London, thinking I was still back in Melbourne, and said, can we have a chat on air before you come out about, you know, joy and all that sort of thing? And I said, yeah, sure. But it was about 4 o'clock. I'd arrived at 6 o'clock that morning, and about 4 o'clock that afternoon, I just got into the hotel room and I thought, I just want to lie down for a while, and the phone rang, and it's bloody BBC ringing me. So we managed to organise that they would ring me back at 8 o'clock that night. So I did a very quick telephone interview. And then I got to go to the what now is the headquarters in Manchester after Manchester Pride, because they wanted to talk about, you know, an outside first experience of the Pride Festival there. So, yeah.
And did Maureen have the love of music that you obviously do?
Yeah, I think so. She probably had a broader appreciation of music too, because she used to like opera and I hated opera. but she was Piaf.
I'm with Maureen. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love it, yeah.
And right up to the current day, she used to be a huge horse fan too. And it's just... She was country when country wasn't cool, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So she liked just about every sort of music.
And what were some of the other things that kept you together for 37 years?
I often ask myself that question. I think we knew instantly that we were going to be soulmates, and every time a hiccup happened, we sort of dug deep and said, look, this is not going to break us up, because we're committed. And we were.
So we have some more fantastic music from you today, Anita. The last track we're going to hear from is from Carmen Hendricks.
Yes, yes. Soul personified, this lady. I first came across her a few years ago when she opened a Midsummer Festival at Federation Square. And I wasn't there because I was at a Blue House concert that night. But people started talking about her, and I thought, oh, Carmen Hendricks, okay. So I contacted her and asked her if she'd like to come into the show, and she said, yeah, sure. So she came in, brought a CD, and it was so amazing. I thought, right, we're going to keep playing this woman. And then she went off the radar for a while because she'd gone to America. Well, she'd gone overseas, ended up in America, and was writing some really big names, the likes of Beyonce and wow. all of those. And when she came back to Australia, I heard she was going to be releasing another CD, so I contacted her again. And she came in just a few weeks before I took my break. So the song is called Missing You, and it's from Rhythmic Soul Revealed.
Hi, you're on Joy 94.9 and you're listening to the wonderful Caroline and the gorgeous Jess on Our Voice, so stay tuned.
This is Our Voice, you're with Jess and Caroline, and we're going to ask our guest Anita Gibbons some quickfire questions. Anita, who's your favourite GLBTI icon?
Wow. Probably Harvey Milk.
If you could invite three people to dinner, either living or past, who would they be?
Dusty. probably K.D. Lang. And probably somebody like Michelle to represent the Australian scene. Yeah. I reckon it'd be a great dinner.
I think so.
Me too.
We're there. If you could be anywhere in the world, where would you like to be right now?
Vancouver, Canada.
With KD?
No. with Sugar Beach.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yeah. They've just gotten through Vancouver Pride over there, and they were sort of judges for the Dyke March and all sorts of things. I'd like to get over there and have another chat to them.
If there's anything left on your bucket list, what would there be?
Perhaps more travelling.
And what makes you laugh, Anita?
funny people sometimes. The strangest things can just strike me as funny. Even, you know, straight people that are just having a conversation.
I thought the comedy shot would make you laugh.
No, it does. No, straight
it
people.
Does. Straight people make me laugh too.
We've never had that answer before either. If you could be back in any decade, back in time, what would decade would you like to travel to?
Probably the 80s. Yeah, I reckon that sort of is in the midst of the span of the great time. I mean, I know musically the 60s were big and I love a lot of the stuff that came out of the 60s. But I was a kid, you know, and I think probably by the 80s I was right into enjoying what was happening around me.
Anita, if you could use one word to describe your time as being part of joy, what would it be?
Rewarding. Yeah, rewarding. I've met so many wonderful people through my association with joy. And we've got this radio station that now runs 24/7 and, you know, it's just been a rewarding experience.
Sunrise or sunset?
Sunrise.
You've seen enough of those, haven't you?
Yes.
Cats or dogs?
Probably I would have to say cats. I mean, I was attacked by a dog when I was very young and I now approach even the tiniest of dogs with mild trepidation. But I've always had cats.
And if there is any job you could do for a day, what would you like to do?
Wow. I've always wanted to be a DJ. A proper DJ.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, wouldn't it be great? I'll be there.
Well, we're thinking of doing something like that. The next big event after Outrageous Harmonies happens is we're trying to get a women's club in Melbourne that has regular events.
We need it.
And we'll have some DJing, some good food, some artist performing.
Sensational.
Michelle put her hand up for rumours too, didn't you?
Yeah.
You're in for anything. That's what I love. Actually, yeah, I'll come back to that. What's your favourite hobby?
Oh, gosh, it used to be sailing. I used to love sailing, wet bum sailing anyway. But I guess now it is reading.
And what's your favourite film?
Look, there's so many. I've been a Desert Hearts fan since it was released, really.
Since before it was cool.
Yeah, probably. But, you know, there's been so many films, I couldn't list one.
And what's the most outrageous thing you have ever done?
Most outrageous thing I've ever done? I went through a phase of gigging, which was brought about because I enjoyed dancing. So I used to go around to dances and stuff and be wild and erotic.
Woohoo! Anita, what has been the best experience of your life?
Meeting Maureen. Mm. Yeah. I count myself as one of the luckiest people on earth that I met Maureen.
And if Maureen was still here with us today and same-sex marriage was legal, would have you married her?
Quite possibly not. Not that I don't agree that equality includes same-sex marriage. But just because we got this thing about marriage, you know, and we were committed anyway. We didn't need piece of paper or official recognition. I mean, most people that we cared about recognised us just as a couple. And that was good enough.
And Anita Gibbons, what's your star sign?
Sagittarius. We're the nice people.
Yeah, I agree.
Bit wild.
And you've been listening to Our Voice with the fantastic Anita Gibbons, who's given so much to women's music, so much to joy, so much to all our listeners. So just on all our behalf, for every listener, I'd like to thank you from the bottom of my heart. And Michelle, for coming in today to talk
welcome.
To us.
Thanks for allowing me to be a part of it.
You have been listening to Our Voice on Joy 94.9. For more information, head to joy.org.au to connect with Our Voice online.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.